And if not, we're going to have our kids with us today. So kids, try to sit down, sit still, don't make too many unnecessary movements because that will distract the adults. It's the most important thing that you can do, study God's Word. So as you grow up, don't forget that. You're going to need it. And I was doing a series on distractions, but I was led to do a talk on the economic depression and the Client Nation USA to kind of clear up some things for you so that you can understand some of the trends that we're going through. Because some of the things that I've heard from believers let me know that they need some things cleared up in regards to what the Bible teaches about all these things. So that's what we're going to try to accomplish, and then next time I'll get back on the my series on distractions. I believe we got like one more lesson on that, and then we should be able to finish up the book, and you can have it available. It'll be available in the back, hopefully by the time the semester starts. So, what causes an economic depression in a client nation? As I mentioned, I've heard several believers state that our economic slowdown is attributed to President Bush. Is that true? If not, then who is to blame for our economic depression? That's what these believers thought. Bush is the blame for this. So let's begin with our scripture we read this morning, Romans chapter 13. And we'll read three verses there in Romans chapter 13. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Got a lot of verses to look at. This is the first set of verses we'll look at. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And let's read 1 through 3. And there it states, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The power to be, or ordain of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." So according to these verses, a believer who rebels or criticizes the governing authorities is not submitting to his authorities. Believers, this is written to believers. According to these verses, believers are supposed to submit to the governing authorities for the simple reason, as per these verses, that those authorities have been established by God. They're God ordained. So in actuality, when we rebel or criticize the governing authorities, we are doing it against something God has ordained, in essence, against God. So we can rebel and criticize God and not even realize it. According to Romans 13:2, this can bring civil and or divine judgment. So we got to be careful about that. In actuality, the economic status of a client nation to God is often a sign of the spiritual status of that nation. And we're talking about the client nation. And so, got to remember the principle that as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And that begins with us. Believers. That's what we got to remember. But when economic depression occurs, we always seem to blame somebody. It's their fault. No, it's their fault. Such as the federal government. It's the federal government's fault. They're to blame for this economic depression. It's the policies of government. That's where the problem is. Sure, the bureaucracy. That's where the problem is. That's what we say to ourselves. Or, it's the Bush administration. That's the cause of this economic depression we're going through. So we always blame somebody. But whatever the obvious reason might be, the economic status of a client nation to God goes much deeper than that. And that's what we're going to try to see. It is actually a reflection of the spiritual status of that nation. So economic depression actually means that the pivot of believers is growing smaller. Believers in Jesus Christ, That's you and all of us all together, believers in Jesus Christ. It's growing smaller. And we're going to see that. And the simple reason is because believers are not advancing to maturity. And that has consequences if we don't do that. Us as believers, if we're not advancing to maturity, we're going to see the consequences. The consequences mean that God is simply exercising the divine choice in administering the five cycles of discipline. And, you've heard us mention it before, the five cycles of discipline. And they are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. That's where they're all found. So let's begin to understand how these things work. The five cycles of discipline. I'll look at a couple of them that deal with the economic depression, beginning with point one. So let's look at point one. And we see that the word famine in the Bible has a reference to economic depression and natural disasters. Our Lord prophesied that there would be wars, that there would be famines until His return. And war is simply the manifestation of man's arrogance. And a depression manifests man's total function of a sin nature. But, the Bible does advocate free enterprise as part of the laws of divine establishment. If you're taking the arrogance class, you understand those divine laws or the divine establishments. But unfortunately, free enterprise is violated by sin. It is violated by human good. It is violated by evil. When those enter the equation, then free enterprise becomes faulty. And this results in a recession, an economic depression when this happens. Thus, in the natural course of life, an economic depression is going to happen. It's going to happen periodically. And this is why it is important for believers to reach maturity. Because if we don't, we are basically useless to God. He can't use us. So it's important to reach maturity. Otherwise, we cannot be used by God. We are useless when we live our own plan for our lives instead of His plan for our lives. And His plan includes using His power system. And you got to understand what that power system is. You can't use it unless you know what it is. And part of maturity, that's you begin to understand that power system and you begin to use it. And also being free from all kinds of arrogance. And there's a lot of arrogance, little forms of arrogance that we get involved in. And depression is simply actually designed to wake people up. It's to wake us up. We seem to be sleepwalking when it comes to the Christian way of life. And so we begin rejecting biblical truth. And when we reject biblical truth, there is a strong delusion that happens. And part of that rejection includes simply not putting God's truth as number one priority. And when that happens, we become indifferent about what the Bible teaches. When we don't put it as number one priority. So an economic depression indicates that part of the population is operating in Satan's system of arrogance. And this has consequences. There are a ton of poor decisions being made that go against God's laws of divine establishment. Because people are ignorant of those laws. Because if you don't put number one priority of God's word, then you're not going to learn all these things. And you're going to go on your own wisdom. And that has consequences. Bunch of poor decisions. You make poor decisions, there's going to be consequences to poor decisions. You make good decisions, there are consequences to good decisions. So it's called the law of volitional responsibility. We take responsibility for what we choose. And when we make bad decisions, we hurt nobody but ourselves. As we discuss in the arrogance class, we deal with the law of volitional responsibility. And then we suffer the consequences. And when the weight of the consequences come falling on top of our head, then we always say, why is God letting this happen to us? And we do it to ourselves because we make bad choices because God's word is not number one priority. And unfortunately, that's what happens. Poor decisions. Therefore, as a result, recession and depression are part of the cycles of discipline. So let's begin to see how they work in a client nation. So hopefully this will help you interpret some of the things that are going on in client nation USA today. So we don't do like those believers that said, it's the Bush administration's fault, we're going through this. Okay, well, let's see what the Bible has to say. That's all it is, it's personal opinion. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are to give divine viewpoint, not personal opinion. So let's look at point two. Point two states that recession as part of divine discipline on a national entity is the second cycle of discipline. It's found in Leviticus. So turn, let's look at Leviticus. Let's look at what the Bible has to teach on these things. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, and we'll read verses 18 through 20. Leviticus 26, verse 18. And there we read, if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. So what does this all mean? That is what we're here to find out. If a client nation to God does not turn around after the first cycle of discipline, this is the second cycle right here in these verses, but if they do not turn around after the first cycle of discipline, then arrogance sets in. And this is seen in Leviticus 26:19 in the word pride. This is a reference to arrogance. It will be broken, says the Lord. I want to be broken, continue in arrogance. The Lord will break us when we do. And in a client nation, God punishes the arrogant in power that misuse that power. It's His establishment, so He takes care of them. He doesn't need my help, doesn't need none of our help to discipline those in power who abuse that power. He knows how to deal with it, and He will deal with it. And if we get in His way, we're going to get part of that discipline, so we've got to watch it. Stay out of His way. He deals with those that abuse power, that are in power. In the same verse, the heaven being made iron and the earth being made brass refers to drought. Of course, drought means economic disaster, resulting in economic depression. In Leviticus 26:20, we see that the land shall not yield her increase, nor the trees yield their fruit. In other words, no matter how hard you work, you cannot produce food. And so we got to remember that when these words were written, they were written during an agriculture economy. And this was before our industrial economy came about. This was an agriculture economy at the time. The point is that people work hard for nothing. Today, this is known as inflation. We can relate to that, huh? Working hard for nothing. That's inflation. Prices going so high, we work hard for nothing. So today, it's known as inflation. And there are times when, of course, it helps when you budget. But budgeting is a little bit different than being cheap. Now, being cheap is actually when you go to the dollar store and you complain about the prices there. That is just being cheap. I don't know why I keep doing that, but I guess I'm cheap. You ever want to mess with those cashiers in there? The next time they yell at you, I'll check you out over here. Yell back at them, just check me out from there. Just check me out from there. Oh, boy. tough crowd. See, buying tickets. So inflation is a basis for economic depression under the fourth cycle of discipline, as found in Leviticus 23, 26. Same chapter. Let's look there. Look at the fourth cycle of discipline. Chapter 26, for this time, verse 23 through 26. Leviticus 26:23 states, "And if ye will not reform by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you seven times for your sins." So increases the punishment, increases seven more times again. And then verse 25, "And I will bring sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered unto the hands of the enemy. And when I have broken thy staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied." So in Leviticus 26:26, 10 women breaking bread in one oven means there is food rationing. That's what that means. It means that after eating a small piece of bread, you're just as hungry as before. So the second cycle of discipline is economic recession. The fourth cycle of discipline is economic depression. And only the spiritual recovery of the believer will deliver a client nation from its economic depression. Only the believer. No administration is going to deliver the client nation. It's the believer who delivers the client nation from economic depression. Some of y'all might remember some of the footage from the Great Depression, 1929. During the Great Depression, there was people in line for food rationing. That was the U.S. that these things were going on in, back in 1929. So it's happened already before in the past. There was a rise in good Bible exposition at the time. And some of the greatest teachers of that generation became known. And as a result of spiritual recovery came along long before an economic recovery. It wasn't due to Roosevelt's New Deal. It was due to the believer growing because of those great Bible teachers that the Lord rose up during that day. That's what delivered the client nation during that time, and that's what's going to deliver this client nation. It's unfortunate that economic disaster, like warfare and disease, always has a tendency to bring people back to the reality of eternal God. So unfortunately, that's what it takes for us to be slapped back into reality. Otherwise, we have a tendency to get entrenched in Satan's world system of arrogance in all its diverse forms. And there are quite a few. And that's why the Lord moved me to offer a 2-semester course in it. So you want to know all about it, then that's the class you want to take. So let's look at point 3. When a client nation is under the fourth or fifth cycle of discipline, only the pivot of mature believers has enough historical impact for deliverance. So let's turn to this verse here in Psalms. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 23. 33, rather. Excuse me. Psalms 33. And we'll read verses 16 through 19. Psalms 33. And in Psalms 33:16, we read that there is no king saved by the multitude of his hosts. Talking about his army here. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall be delivered by his great strength. Talking about the horsepower. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Or in other words, personally love him. Upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. This is economic depression. So in the time when Psalms 33 was written, you got to remember that human solutions were such things as the size of an army or the strength of an individual and the ability of the horse. Yet none of these things can deliver anybody. So there are no answers to a client nation in apostasy apart from spiritual recovery. That's the only way. Otherwise, it'd be looking for answers, but there are none. So this emphasizes how important we are as members of the royal family of God. We are very important. And our momentum in the protocol plan of God is of extreme importance. Each one of us can impact the recovery of this nation, client nation USA. Unfortunately, there are much distractions today, or just plain old indifference in growing in grace by believers. That's where the problem is right there. And we're going downhill as believers in Jesus Christ. Economic depression is often caused by rejection of biblical truth as it is taught by those authorized to teach it. And of course, in the Old Testament, these teachers were prophets and Levitical priests. And in the New Testament, they were first apostles. And now, today, they are pastor teachers. It's those that are authorized to teach God's Word. And let's again turn to Songs. Let's look at some more verses. Got a lot of verses to look at. Songs. But this time, chapter 105. Chapter 105. And let's look at verse 15. Psalms 105, verse 15. And we read saying, touch not, or in other words, be hostile against, says the Lord, my anointed, those who teach biblical truth, and do my prophets no harm. Why? Look at the next verse. In other words, basically, what this verse 15 is saying is, do not reject the message or the messenger. By rejecting the messenger, you reject the message. And look at verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine, economic depression, upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. So this means to destroy all their food supply. So rejecting God's message and messenger has consequences, doesn't it? So let's move on to point four. Let's look at point four. And point four states that during economic depression, there is generally a lot of false teaching, of false doctrinal truth, which does nothing more than intensify the depression. And you can read some of the verses there that I've included there in Jeremiah. You can read that on your own. I'll just simply tell you that Jeremiah 14 talks about false prophets who prophesy lies from their visions, from the delusions of their own mind. One of the things they said, there will be no sword, there will be no famine. Excuse me. Yet the Lord said of these guys, I didn't send them. Whatever they're saying, they're saying it out of the delusion of their own mind. And that's what's going on today. They said that back then. And they say that today. I've heard the same things said today. There's going to be no economic depression. So politicians, religious types, and false prophets always prophesy, and promise no depression. Yet, 10 years later, they were destroyed by both, not only the sword and famine. So much for these false prophets, huh? And now, let's finish up with point five and see what the Bible says in Hosea. And point 5 states that Hosea 4, 1 through 6 explains the reason why God administers the 5 cycles of discipline to a client nation. Turn to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, and we'll finish up by reading verse 1 through 6. And these passages are addressed to believers. It's believers who are ultimately responsible for the rise or for the fall of a client nation. That's what we got to remember. We are responsible for the rise or the fall of this client nation today. So you want to look at the fall, look in the mirror. Again, Hosea chapter 4. Let's read a verse. We'll begin with verse 1 right there. Hosea 4:1 states, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel," talking about the northern kingdom. "For the Lord hath a controversy," in other words, an indictment, "with the inhabitants of the land," talking about the client nation at that time, "because there is no truth." This is, of course, biblical truth. There is no biblical truth, nor is there any mercy. Mercy is grace. "Nor knowledge of God in the land." Again, the land is the client nation to God. These things were missing in the client nation. And God had an indictment against Jewish client nations in the Old Testament. And today, he has an indictment against client nation U.S. of A. As he did back then. There is no demand for sound Bible teaching in a time of apostasy. And we live in a time of apostasy. No grace has been applied. No grace is even taught sometimes. And those two always go together. Grace and truth always go together. You can't have one without the other. And the absence of grace and truth then bring on the 5 cycles of discipline. Let's continue in Hosea, verse 2 and 3. Let's look at what the Bible has to teach. Verse 2, "By swearing and lying," in other words, being dishonest, "and killing and stealing and committing adultery," it's talking about rape here, "they break out and blood touches blood." This is an idiom for perpetual violence. "And therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." And so that the land mourns means people are miserable under the cycles of discipline. There is no one enjoying anything. There's no capacity. So they have no capacity to enjoy it. So there's no social life, business, and of course the spiritual life are all gone. Basically living hopeless, miserable lives. What is the alternative? Stimulation. Stimulation is always there. So we can go by that. But that only lasts until it stops. Then we're back right to our miserable selves again. And stimulation, as I mentioned in that Virtue Love book, so different forms of that. Drugs, alcohol, sex, emotionalism, all kinds of different stimulations. That's what people go by. That's all they got. When there's no truth there, then that's what they go by, unfortunately. To their own detriment, unfortunately. So all who live in languish means that there's a loss of national courage, the loss of patriotism, vitality, and strength. Of course, animals also suffer when people suffer. People are viciously cruel under the cycles of discipline. Let's look at the next verse, Hosea chapter 4, verse 4. "Yet let no man strive as in evil activism, nor reproof another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest." Those are the communicators of truth. And activism is the last thing that we need to get into under the 5 cycles of discipline. A reproof or accusing is blaming other groups. It's their fault. They're causing all this. So believers must take responsibility. Negative volition and a shrinking pivot brings on these things. That's what we've got to remember. Let's look at the next couple of verses. Hosea chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. "Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee at the night and night, and I will destroy thy mother, talking about the motherland. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now that they stumble in the daylight, because they are involved in Satan's world system of arrogance. It'll blind you. It'll make you irrational. It'll make you psychotic, as those that have taken the class have found out. But we do it to ourselves from our own bad choices. So this includes false prophets who teach false doctrinal principles. And today, many pulpits speak of peace, peace when there is no peace. Just as they did back in Jeremiah's day. Pastors today peddle false doctrinal truth while the United States is declining for lack of a pivot of mature believers. The only hope for this country resides in each one of our souls. If there's negative complacency in believers, then we will continue our downward trend. Declining nation without biblical truth is a nation without solutions. And that's what we are witnessing today. But as goes the believer, so goes the declining nation. That's what we got to remember. This prophecy in Hosea 4 was fulfilled in the northern kingdom. They were taken out in the fifth cycle of discipline. So we got to remember this. So whatever happened to greater nations than ours in the past can happen to us today. And that is what's going on today with U.S. of A. But God does protect the mature and positive believer in times of disaster. So let's turn, we'll finish up with Romans. Some words that our brother Paul left us. Chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read verses 35 through 37. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. And verse 35, Romans 8, 35. States, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, talking about disaster, or distress, talking about anguish, or persecution, or famine? Now we know that means economic depression, or nakedness, referring to hardship, or peril, or sword. This is referring to danger from warfare. Right here, the sword is. And then verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the words more than conquerors here signifies not just a victory, but an overwhelming victory. That's what Paul says. That's the preposition hupo, not just a victory, something above just a victory. So these verses let us know that we can win the supreme victory through our Lord who loves us and he also sustains us. And regardless of what this client nation goes through, we are his children. He will sustain us. He loves us. So we take comfort in that. In all things, Paul says, not just a few things, all things. In all things we can be more than conquerors. Overwhelming, can have an overwhelming victory in all the things that we're going through. So in disaster testing, the mature believer uses the greatest problem-solving device, having the happiness of God. That's a good problem-solving device to have, sharing the happiness of God. That means you're happy regardless of your circumstance. That's a good happiness to have. But of course, this requires a strong relationship with our Lord. And that's where the problem is. You mean I gotta do the what? I just can't have it like that? No. Gotta make good choices. One of them is to learn the things of the Lord. So that my relationship with him can grow. and so that I can have and share that happiness with God. Great example is Paul. Paul had reached such a fullness of this that he was so strong, God blessed him by giving him perpetual suffering. That's a blessing. It was to Paul. And it is to the mature believer. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul shares some of the suffering that he endured. A lot. Drastic. Yet, he rejoiced in it all. He just focused on the things to come. He wasn't focused with his fleeting life. And so, likewise, we can do the same thing. Paul rejoiced in all circumstances. And he actually carried that as a robe of honor everywhere he went. How about us? Well, Client Nation USA is depending on you reaching that status. But it's up to us to do it. And it is up to us to determine our impact. Client Nation USA. We kept messing around, neglecting our relationship with the Lord, not putting Him as number one priority, then okay. You'll see this downward trend continue. And that's where it starts. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation. So hopefully, that'll give you a new perspective, a good biblical perspective on the things that are going on today. Things are not going to get any better, but it depends on us whether the Lord takes this nation out or not. So it's up to you. And that's what we need to look at, ourselves. We can't have control over nobody else but our choices. So hopefully that'll clear up some things for you and give you a new perspective. And so you can interpret the trends that we're going through right now. So with that, now every head bowed and every eye closed, we come to our part of our service where we give everybody an opportunity that has never believed and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to do so right now. Understanding that there's only one way to make it into heaven, and that is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross. And we can have the assurance that if we do that, and we accept that free gift that God gave us from His love, He did it because He understood that we are hopeless. There is no way to be joined by Him except if He provided a way. And so He loved us so much, He did provide a way. He provided our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He provided Him as the gift that we need in order to be saved, in order to have the assurance that when we die, we can be absent from the body and we can be present with the Lord. Because of the simple reason that a perfect God cannot be joined with imperfect human beings. And therefore, His holiness demands perfection. And that is the reason only Jesus Christ can fulfill that perfection. But He was perfect in everything He did. He fulfilled all the laws. And that's why He is the only acceptable sacrifice that the holiness of God will accept. And when we accept His work on the cross, then it is credited to us as righteousness, as the Bible says. And then we can have the assurance that we are now a child of God, destined for heaven, and for great things that the Lord has in store for those that love Him. But that love does not come overnight. That love requires a choice from us, to make a choice to make our relationship with the Lord number one priority. To learn of Him, learn His thoughts, learn how to think, learn all His systems, and be not only victorious, but supremely victorious, regardless of the situations that might come our direction. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for fellowship in the Word. I ask that You will challenge us so that we may stay awake and focus on what truly is important and not be distracted, like a majority of Christendom is being distracted today, Father. Thank You as always, and we ask this in all things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us all say, Amen.